Welcome back to this special edition of North Sound Racing. Steve Mortland here, Carly Keats, and Galen Stewart with us, as always, presented by Action Auto Parts. And the reason you're listening to it on the Internet, folks, because of our friends at Sandblasters Incorporated. So let's get back to it. One of my good friends that I've had the opportunity to meet in the 10 years I've been in this racing game is on the line with us right now, and he is a 7-time champion out at Evergreen Speedway and is now just about ready to win his first Superstock Championship down at South Sound Speedway if he keeps up this horrid pace, 5 wins in a row out of Monroe. Tom Moriarty joins us. How are you tonight, Tom?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Good. Galen and Carla are here, and we're going to find out exactly what's going on with that number 5 car down at South Sound because, man, 5 wins in a row. Have you ever pulled off a stunt like this?
I don't know if I did at Evergreen, but, you know, South Sound's a way different track than Evergreen, so it's pretty tough. I'm pretty excited about it. The crew's been working hard, and we're just... matter of fact, tonight's race car night, but I let them go early so I could do this.
Yeah. Well, good. What a kind and caring car driver you are. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. But one thing you're not doing is you don't own this car. And tell us about the guy who does.
Well, Mike Barrett's been around for a long time. He used to race way back when. I guess he used to race with Toby Butler and Rockin' Ron Eaton and Dirk Stevens. And he's been around. He used to crew on a drag car and stuff like that. And actually, I went over to drive John Bender's car at the Fall Classic here a couple years ago, and that's where I ran into Mr. Barrett.
Oh, really?
He kind of watched me drive Bender's tour car over there, and we kind of chatted. He was helping Tom Swetman over there at the time. And, you know, I just kind of told him, hey, you know, if we can put something together, that's great, and kind of left it at that. And I checked with him a couple times over the winter, and I guess we put something together again, together here about, 2 years ago now. How time flies.
Boy, it does. It does. I'm just glad to see you back in a race car, no matter where it's at. It's got to be fun. And for those who are not familiar with South Sound Speedway, tell us what kind of track it is and what got you down there. Let's put it that way.
Well, like I say, Mike being out of Hoquiam, that's basically where he bases the his limited late model car that JJ drives, JJ Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I based a 5 car out of my shop here in Monroe. And then also he took on Schultz's cars this year that he bases out of his Hoquiam shop. So the track deal, they call it a 3/8 mile, but, man, I tell you what, you're flying down there. It's 13. Fast time was 13:62 for qualifying. That was set by Bob Presley, and I went a 13:63 both laps, so... We're getting the qualifying down. It's, I believe I want to say the banking's 21 degrees. So you got quite a bit of banking. So you just layer off into the corner and turn the wheel and go.
Tom, you've been, at Monroe. I mean, you've dominated pretty much everything you've ran there. You came out, you're always fast every single week. And I know that I'm not going to offend you by saying this, but we're surprised it took so long. What's been the major factor, and is it stiff competition, just an unusual track down there? Now we're back to seeing you in normal form, winning a lot.
Well, I got to be quite frank with you, Galen. I used to drive Port Cities, as you well know. This is a left-hander chassis. It's an older left-hander chassis. It was built back in 2001 or 2, but I was the first one to put the thing together and drive it. I tried to adapt quite a bit of my Port City knowledge to a left-hander. Don't ever try it. Trust me. It don't work. I mean, we went over this thing. It was an okay car to drive. It wasn't fun. It was, you know, I couldn't qualify. So if you don't qualify well, you know, you're in the back. And it's a tough deal down there to get through the cars down there. It's just, especially if you got a car that won't turn. I mean, we tried everything. We had the track bars high as it could go in the car. I mean, it was about ready to poke out of the tin. I mean, we tried everything. I mean, we tried huge stagger, we tried nose stagger, we tried everything. And then Nick came up over the winter, Nick Benn from South Sound. He came up over the winter because that's what he used to race his left-handers. And, you know, the biggest deal that we found with that car is that the roll centers were so far out to lunch. The roll center, I'll tell you where the roll center was. It was 27 feet to the right side of the tire.
Holy cow. So no wonder you couldn't get it to turn.
There you go. I mean, you put new tires on the thing and it'd slow it down over a half a second. It would go okay on 200 lap old tires, you know, but as soon as you put new tires on there, you go to turn the wheel and the thing would just go straight. I mean, you couldn't get it to turn.
Hey, Tom, one thing that's really cool about radio is on radio, no one can see you look stupid. Explain roll center.
Well, I don't even, I don't know that much about it.
Oh, baloney. You don't win like you win without knowing. You know roll center, you know roll axis, you know the whole thing. Don't
make something up, I'll believe it.
Actually, I do not own a program that you run the roll centers through. Basically, you measure all the pivot points, you put them into a laptop with the whatever roll center program you got. There's mm-hmm. several roll center programs available out there on the market, and it basically shows what it is statically and as the car goes through dive. And what you don't want is when your car is, say, at 4 inches and you squish the nose down to seal it up at the track and it's down, say it dives 3 inches entering in the corner, you don't want the roll center to keep moving to the right. You actually want to start the roll center to the left of the car and bring it back to the right, but not mm-hmm. 27 feet to the right. That's no good.
let me tell you, Tom, that I don't know if you recollect, Rick Hager had a left-hander, and I had that one at Chuck Chambers, and I had a gentleman go through the roll center on the front of my car. I didn't know roll center from nothing. And he mm-hmm. had the rear end of that car jacked 10 feet in the air, and he made me change all the points in that car. And I'll tell you what, that was – I've driven Paysetter, Port City, and that left-hander was the absolute best-handling car I ever had once the roll center got straightened out. And I didn't realize that's what you're running there. I'm not surprised. Left-handers are a good car.
Yeah, left-handers are built it's a heavy car. You know, like I say, it's an older car, so the newer mm-hmm. left-handers are built with the points have moved in the newer front clips, and you know, everybody's running the long shocks, and this had short shocks, so of course I changed the shock mounts on it and ran the long shocks so that I could get the thing down into the track. And roll center is a big part nowadays. I mean, as you well know, back when mm-hmm. you were racing, I mean, it wasn't a huge deal, but it's getting more and more every year, and I think that's a big thing.
Well, with the tremendous amount of travel, like you're saying, and with that thing bouncing all over the place, congratulations, just doing good down there. We're proud of you, and it's just nice seeing you back in Victory Lane like we're used to seeing you.
I appreciate that, Galen. That means a lot. And, you know, I actually got a phone call here from a guy, Steve Craig. You guys know Steve Craig, and I guess Joe Decker called him and wanted me to run his tour car this next weekend on the 5/8, but... As you know, I got a race down at South Sound on the 26th, so that made me feel good that, you know, I could hop in another guy's car that wanted me to hop into it. So we'll have to decline that one, but hopefully we'll be at Monroe on September 20th. We're actually done the week before that.
And oh, cool.
My car is in one piece. We might bring the old number 5 out and run the last tour race there.
That was actually going to be my next question, was are we going to be able to see you at any other tracks? And I'm sure there's going to be some other opportunities for you as well. So congratulations on what you've done so far, and I'm sure you're going to keep doing it.
Yep, I hope so. We're talking about the Fall Classic, but my main focus right now is just keeping what we're doing going good and just focusing on the South Sound deal. And like I say, it means a lot to me to be able to go to another track, and where I had really good success there at Evergreen Speedway. And, you know, I spent a lot of my racing career there, and then be able to go down to South Sound in my second year and kind of figure this deal out and run up front, it makes me feel good, you know. And Kelly Mound's no slouch down there either.
Oh,
you
no.
know, Kelly and the Sweat Hog went tooth and nail last year, and I just got to sit back and watch. And now I'm in the mix, so it's a lot of fun.
Makes it a lot more fun to go to the racetrack, I'm sure. Talk a little bit about the rules. I know the limited late models run the crate engine. Is there, in your class, is there crate engines? Is it a mix? What's going on down there?
Well, there was only one crate engine here a couple weeks ago, and that's when Dirk Stevens came out and ran a crate car with us on a 100-lapper. He actually finished second behind me. I think it's the wave of the future. I'm a big motor guy, kind of like you, Galen. That's all we've ever had is big motors. And, you know, could I bring myself to drive a crate motor car? Well, I guess if it comes down to it, I'd have to probably say yes. I don't know. Tell you the truth, if I'd have any fun on the 5/8, I just the straightaways are too long, buddy.
are they competitive down there? Realistically,
oh, yeah. Yep.
They
yep.
are.
They are, because in the limited late model, the crate motors. There's, what was their last race? 10 crate motors and 9 compression motors.
Jeez.
So, you know, it's competitive. I think you're going to see, I don't know if it'll happen next year, but I hear that they're going to try to go to all crate motors. I know Mike Barrett's really, really pushing me to go to a crate motor next year.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about building a new car. Of course, you know, this thing is heavy. We did get it down to 2,900 pounds, but we did have to put a spec-headed motor in it, you know, to get the weight off the nose, and I don't think we could get it down any lighter. I mean, we'd have to build a new car to go to a crate motor deal.
Hey, Tom, I heard about a real cool way to kind of move weight around in your car.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's called a lead-lined helmet.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Nick told me that Bell called him and they were going to make me a double extra large helmet because he says my head's got to be getting a little too big. Because
you don't know that to be true. I want you to comment. Hey, there's one fella down there that's overcome a lot, and I mean a lot, and that's John King over the last 4 or 5 years. Yeah, I know he's down there, the tech guy. I'm sure you probably got a couple of good words for John King.
John King's awesome. He treats I really don't have any problems with John. He treats everybody equal. I mean, if the ride height's 4 inches, it's 4 inches. He don't let anybody go through that's not right, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he also has got a lot of knowledge. I mean, if you got a problem with your car, you can go to John and he'll help you out. So, the tech's real good down there. I mean, there's nobody getting away with anything, trust me.
Cool. Well,
he didn't like my intake spacer, and it's been on that motor since Cope's built it a year and a half ago, and it was off 5,000, so he made me change it.
Well, always remember, Tom, even Superman can't see through a lead helmet. Neck might be a little sore, but, you know, I guess, I'm not the smartest guy about these things, but I understand left side weight's very advantageous.
Well, yeah, left side weight's huge down there, 58%, buddy.
There you go.
Hey, I'm waiting for you to bring Carla and Galen down.
I know. I've got.
When are you guys going to make an appearance down there?
Well, you know, we were talking.
When you get me a ride.
Ooh.
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 Wow.
Oh, the gauntlet. The hammer's been thrown.
How about August?
How about if I let you hot lap the car?
How about we set up an octagon in the infield and let you two go at it?
That might be a bad deal.
You two warriors. Well, Tom, congratulations on the 5 wins in a row. And I know you've got, maybe 3 or 4 left. You guys run 100-lap shows every 2 weeks down there, which I think is an awesome idea. And I would kind of wish more tracks would go to that because it gives you some time away. And I know that in the time you took off in between Evergreen and the time you started back up down South Sound, that time away from the racetrack, and believe me, I well know, it's very welcome, isn't it?
It's a lot of fun, you know, and you don't have to race. You know, it's not an every week deal. You mm-hmm. do get a little bit of a break. So, like I say, we just kind of go through, check the car over this week, and make a parts list if we need anything. And then by Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, the car is ready to go in the box. So
cool.
It makes it fun.
All right. Well, we will talk to you at the end of the season, huh?
All right, buddy.
All right. Thanks a lot,
Tom. Hope you guys make it down there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm checking the calendar as we speak. When's your season championship night?
September 13th.
September 13th. Okay,
yep.
Cool. I'll check it.
And then August 9th is the 200 when the tour is going to be down running with us.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be a good show.
Yeah, it will be. Hey, Tom, thanks a lot. Congratulations, my friend.
All right, thanks a lot, you guys. Appreciate it.
Take care. Good luck.
That was Tom Moriarty, our friend and pal. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Doug Pace. Our next guest is Doug Pace, who coolly, I think, is the voice of the Late Model Challenge Series, does all the media work for him, and Doug, based out of Spokane. First of all, you're not displaced. You haven't been burnt down or nothing, have you, Doug?
No, but that was real close to my kids' godparents, Ooh. And it was nerve-wracking for them last weekend, I'll tell you.
I'll bet. You are going to be a big part, I think. You will downplay it, of course, because you're such a humble guy. The Montana 200 coming up at Kalispell Raceway. Tell us what's going on up there this weekend.
Well, first of all, backtrack a little bit. ESPN, which KRKO is affiliate of today, is the Jimmy V Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And having the Jimmy V Foundation play a part in my family's life this year, I got to thinking about Super Dave a little bit today and, you know, our friend Scott Ellsworth and what they're going through. So I got to kick it off by saying, if you got the chance, Ray Sands, They raised $20,000 between a couple of families to go to Phoenix International for the fall event. I think us up here in the Northwest can make our presence felt. $5 goes to the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center. $10, whatever you do to help Jimmy V and the foundation, trickles back down. And, you know, it's on a personal note for all of us when we think about Dave and we think about our families that have been impacted by it. So with that said, I intended to go to the Montana 200 as my first real family get away from my kids with my wife as an anniversary present, because 15 years ago I dragged her to Candlestick Park to watch the Giants game for our honeymoon. So I figured after 15 years, she hasn't been anywhere this year. It's been a rough year for her. Let's go watch Gary Lewis and the boys put on a show in Montana. Well,
let me ask you a quick question. Was Will Clark on first base for the Giants down there at the Stick?
He was, and Robbie Thompson was playing, and that was the first year Barry Bonds was in the Giants uniform. And in their opponent, this will shock me for age and all of us, except for Galen, he's young. The Montreal Expos, the opponent with Marquise Grissom and the
wife. Who was on first?
I'm feeling dated now.
That's all right.
Hey, Galen was probably running go-karts back then.
Yeah. No, I actually went to a game at Candlestick Park. So
yeah, neat place, neat venue. And on that note, neat venue that they've got out in Montana, in Kalispell, Montana Raceway Park. I was out there for the 4th of July with the ARCA Series. Mm-hmm. It was an incredible race. And I'm pretty humbled to have been asked by them to do some media work for the 200 and to come out and help their announcer Reed Tobel out with doing play-by-play and some pit road stuff and victory lane stuff. I would have gone. I'd have paid. Mm-hmm. It's the greatest late model race, as far as I'm concerned, one of the greatest in the Northwest, but it is the greatest stock car race east of the mountains. Fall Classic is its own thing, and I know Ron Bennett puts on a heck of a show down there for the Fall Classic, but this event is starting to rival some of the biggest races on the West Coast. There's no more Bakersfield, California Fall Classic. They've got a Las Vegas race that pays big in November. Ron's got a great purse for the guys down there in the late model show in October, but this one is steadily becoming, after 18 years, one that guys want to win. Let me give you a couple of names that have never won it. Garrett Evans and Pete Harding and Ron Eaton and Kelly Tanner, and those are four of some of the best I think we've got going for us. They've never won it. But Gary Lewis has. And Tom Swetman's won it three times.
We were fortunate enough last year. I'm terrible with names, and it's not written down right here in front of me, but we had the promoter on. She was a very, very nice lady.
Marie Auxerre.
Yes. I'll tell you what, she was wonderful. She sounded like she had a lot of fun going on over there, full grandstand. And I think she was nominated promoter of the year, if I'm not mistaken. It sounds like it's going to be a great event over there.
Well, I got to tell you that in the transition period, because a family coming in bought Raceway Park from Marie's parents, and Marie is still actively involved in operating the facility from the pit side. Justin Rohde is their manager and promoter. He operates the office side. As I said, they got Reed Tobel. You want to talk about an up-and-coming star. They're not just driving the race cars. They're working on the cars. Reed Tobel's 17 years old, and this kid's got the voice of silk. He needs to be on MRN. He is that silky smooth.
Really?
And he is a local short track announcer with aspirations to make it to the big time. So, Steve, you and I and Carla and Galen, better watch. Reed might be coming for our job.
That's okay. If he wants to commute over
there,
I was just going to say, he doesn't even have to try.
No, that's fine. This seat's always open. Well, tell us about Kalispell Raceway Park for those who are not familiar with it, Doug.
It's a high bank quarter mile. It's got a couple grooves to it. It can be a very particular track to tire wear. Just ask Gary Cargraves here from a couple weeks ago. The kid gets out front, leads the most laps in the ARCA race, but he still wore the right rear tire out. And your guest here last show, Jared Vorse, caught him and passed him. And so it's a track that is very, very difficult to hit the setup on, because while it is a quarter mile, it is not Wenatchee. It is not State Line. It's not like anything you're going to think of quarter mile. They look a lot alike, but it's a little more of an abrasive surface. I have had drivers tell me that Garrett has the best racing surface in the Northwest, but Kalispell produces some of the best quarter mile racing, and I have to agree with that.
Yeah. Now, is this a ARCA West sanctioned race? The guys that are going to run over there in the 200, will they be keeping track of points?
Not at all.
Okay,
this is
cool.
A wide open $12,000 to win
cutthroat
show.
Cutthroat racing, huh?
Unlike the ARCA event over Memorial Day, which was a points race with $10,000 to win, the 18th annual Coors Light 200 is simply dog-eat-dog, no holds bar, no points, expect the unexpected. This is an event that last year did not get over until 2, 3 o'clock in the morning because they had a power outage right before they took the green. With the cars on the track coming up to speed, mind you, everything went blank.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have to think that you're going to have to expect the unexpected. Take nothing away from Gary Lewis, absolutely, hands down, the hottest late model stock car driver in the Northwest, if not on the West Coast, if not one of them. He's certainly up there. But don't be surprised if a guy like Wes Rhodes, who's chomping for a victory, pulls this race out. He was coming in Kalispell at the last race for the ARCA Series. He's been on fire at Wenatchee. He has definitely got his game together. And he's flat said, I'm getting tired of running behind everybody else. I need to win one of these things. And what better race to win than the Montana 200?
Doug, I can't let you get away from us without asking you about Spokane Raceway Park. What's new over there?
Well, the county got the keys to the facility, but there is a consultant's report that's made its way around the area from a gentleman by the name of Don Schumacher, who has some blunt assessments when it comes to the oval track, a lot of which, unfortunately, I'd have to agree with him. There's a lot of work that needs to be done at the oval track before you're ever going to see racing there again. But on an upside, they are going to start doing some racing on the road course as soon as this weekend and trying to get some drag racing going out there here before the end of the summer. But everyone's in agreement. You've got a county government-type entity running the facility, and you've got to have the proper race facility in place for that insurance level. Not that that takes away from what a private entity does, but we're talking about government. Those are my tasks. you got to have a proper catch fence. You've got to have appropriate and handicap accessible seating, restrooms, concession stands, pit areas. And when it comes down to it, Mr. Schumacher's report is pretty, as I said, blunt. It's going to take a lot of money, and maybe the end all would be to take what's a half mile, shorten it down to a high bank 3/8, and just reinvent what's out there. Or ultimately, also, it's discussed in his plan, and it's available on the Spokesman Review website, is there's the potential that the track could go away to make more room for the drag strip, because really, when you look at the potential financially for this community, it is, unfortunately, in the drag strip when you're a circle track fan. When you're a race fan like myself, I think it's great if they can get it up the NHRA standards and potentially bid on such a huge event, but mm-hmm. from a circle track standpoint, I've always said, of the three, it's the one that needs the most love, and it's tough love right now because it's going to sit itself out for a while.
Well, we'll just continue to keep track of it and hope everything goes the right way. How about that we'll end it on that?
Well, we want them to go the left way on the old one.
That's right.
There you are. You got it figured out. All right, Doug, thank you so much. Have a great time this weekend, and I'll be send me results like you always do, and I really appreciate that. And we'll get back in touch with you next week, see how it all panned out.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you, Carla. Thank you very much. Hey, and congrats to your son. He had a good run, I saw.
Yeah, he did.
Galen, you need to get yourself one of these fender-bodied cars. Come on,
There's
buddy.
There's a pattern going on. I was just arguing with Moriarty a minute ago. He told me he wanted me down there. I said, get me a ride. It's easy. Just pay for it.
Well, you know, truth be told, before I let you guys go, the seat is out of my son's car right now, so there's lots of leg room.
Wow. I like how this is going. We'll set up. Actually, the way I had it envisioned is Moriarty and Galen in an octagon at the infield at South Sound Speedway.
A rubber chicken cage match.
Hey,
like
there
it.
You go. We've never argued. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All right, Doug.
It's always a pleasure, you guys. You have a good evening.
All
thanks
right, you too.
Call.
Thanks, Doug. We
all
appreciate
right,
your time. And that was Doug Pace, and that's going to do it for us. Thanks a lot, guys, for coming in. It's been a lot of fun. And, again, you're listening to this on the Internet thanks to Sandblasters Incorporated. We'll be back next week. Check us out on NorthSoundRacing.com and on NorthSound1380.com. For Carly Heath and Galen Stewart, I'm Steve Mortland, and we'll see you at the races.
Good luck, racers.